56. J34. Pronoia. Affectionate behavior by world. Agape. Strange orthogonal thought. Following the sudden thought, all this, my research, is sterile, i.e. cold, devoid of feeling. 56. 1A. 2374 was, I was not just in contact with God. I was in the mind of God, cosmos, noetos, cosmic mind. World became the pre-existent external ideas. Then I realized myself to be equally eternal, an eternal notion in that mind. This is the whole explanation. The exegesis was not a waste of time. I came to understand noesis, the use and the cognitive function, the pre-existent ideas, the basis of it all being mind, intellect, forms, logos, idea, ideas, eternal and unchanging, including myself, in God's mind. This is where anamnesis and meta-abstraction become revealed as one and the same operation. A. Pertaining to world. B. Pertaining to me as an equally eternal and unchanging idea in God's mind. Hence, world to be truly known must be intelligibly known, because it is an interlocking set of ideas in God's mind. This is the key to it all. 56.19a. The intellect, as opposed to the senses, can know the true nature of world, not because of some occult power in the intellect, but because the true nature of world is intelligible in itself, as the Pythagoreans taught, ratio and mathematical truth, not a substance, but structure. There is, then, a one-to-one correspondence between the human intellect and the true nature of world. And this explains the meta-abstraction, why it revealed the true nature of world to me, and my own nature to myself. The true structure of the universe is cognate to human reasoning, and this is the paradigm of Pythagoras and his insight upon hearing the anvil struck. Thus, my exegesis, with its emphasis on the reasoning faculty, the meta-abstraction, the overcoming of cognitive estrangement, is by no means a waste of time or a blind alley, but is pure Platonism, the meta-abstraction being noesis, acquired through anamnesis. One might even say that the meta-abstraction is not only a revelation of how the universe is constructed, but that it is an intelligible structure, and that the human reason is able to comprehend it. And it is precisely this that overcomes cognitive estrangement, by yielding up cognitive comprehension as the final yield pertaining both to self and world, the part-whole relationship. Thus it is taught by Plato that there is a spark of the divine in the human soul. 56. 1B. December 12, 1981. Though he seeks to sell his Satan's power fantasies, Blade Runner, he unknowingly promulgates the third kerygma, the ecosphere, animals, is now ensouled, holy. My God, this movie is the greatest defeat, what was done to the book, and victory, the Tagore kerygma promulgated. The first is ostensible, the later cryptic. Oddly, the first appears ostensibly to be a victory, but is really a defeat. Nonetheless, a real victory lurks secretly under it. But it is not the victory that people will think the making of a movie from my book is. They will say, it is a great victory to have your book made into one of the biggest movies of all time. But they will not know why. It doesn't have to do with what is in the movie, etc. It has to do with what is in the novel. The beetle I was tormenting back when I was in the third grade, I saw it as holy, as Christ. Later, the turtle was Christ. The rat who screamed was Christ, and appears as such in tears. This is the revelation in tears by means of the dream. The rat ensouled, and now King Felix, Christ. The crippled lamb, who lagged behind. Pinky as pink sheep, humiliated and killed. It's all in androids, and finally the Tagore vision explicates what was already in androids as doctrine, and in tears as revelatory cipher. The movie is defeat, the novel victory, ostensible vast loss, secret good shining almost invisibly from beneath this defeat. These fascist power fantasies they've made it into. Evil has served good. Evil appears to win, but it is good that actually does. The Tagore vision is a summation of all that has gone before. Looking at Pinky there toward the end and seeing the passion, seeing Christ humiliated and dying, that was not one vision among many. That was not an aspect of a vision. That was the core of it, the beating heart of it all. When that is coupled with the revelation of the Logos in camouflaged form invading reality, the ecosphere, and transubstantiating it, add these two together, and there it all is. This is not quite the same as Jesus Patibulus. It is a new revelation of something dynamic, a process of conquest. Ah, last night I saw in my mind the Godhead moving into the animal kingdom, and I saw the vast joy that the Godhead experienced in receiving that fallen lower kingdom domain back. Not the joy of and by that kingdom, but the joy of and by the Godhead. The Godhead moved into that lower kingdom and inhaled it, drew it back in by it, the Godhead, advancing into that lower fallen kingdom, long separated from the Godhead. And what beauty! The colors, the love, bliss itself by the Godhead to receive back that domain with all the life in it. This was a vision of what I had seen in 374 of Valis, the Logos, invading reality. There I saw it with my outer eyes externally, but last night it was an inner vision, and I had forgotten it until this moment. I experienced the joy and love on the part of the Godhead to do this thing, not what was done for the animal kingdom, but what the Godhead felt. Colors, as Dante describes the Trinity in Paradiso, the very colored rings of light. I saw that like rings of Saturn advancing into the animal domain. The love that moves the sun and the other stars. It had regained the lost animal kingdom. And this is my vision going back to the beetle I was tormenting in the third grade. It is one vision extended over all my life. And I found it in Act 3 of Parsifal, the Good Friday spell. As the EB says, to see in an old dilapidated bum the Christ. That is the Christian dispensation. But I see in the sick, humiliated, dying animal the Christ. Literally saw. And this is the third dispensation. The cat crapping and wild. And then all of a sudden tame and wise like a saint. It was the Christ. And this is a new dispensation. Tagore's. Before it was. Where the man is, there is Christ. Now it is. Where the animal is, there is Christ. To see this and understand this, for this I was fashioned from the beginning. For this I was made. My original Satori regarding the beetle was the true one. Everything else only amplifies. A strange and mysterious strategy. To put the new kerygma in a novel published in the late 60s, but then disclosed to me only now, toward the end of 1981. But just at the time that we get the signed contract with the Blade Runner people to re-release the novel in conjunction with the film, as if the Valis trilogy has diverted everyone's attention, my own included, like when the thought came to me that the true message was in Frozen Journey and not in Valis. The true message is not in Valis, but it is, I now think, in Androids. And it will have the greatest circulation, probably of all. Viewed in terms of God's strategy, Blade Runner has been used as a means to an end. The end being the kerygma in Androids. Thus, to have suppressed Androids and either written or authorized the novelization based on the screenplay, would have been to hand over victory to evil. But this did not happen. The fully executed contract between Blade Runner and me regarding the re-release of Androids was waiting for me in my post office box on Friday, the day I was up in Venice and learned the truth. To share, experience the joy by the Godhead as it invades, expands into the animal kingdom, lost to it all these many millennia. The repair to the damaged Godhead. Yes, it is a self-repair, a re-inhaling, a recovery of part of its lost self. Christ re-knitting the decomposing cosmos and restoring it to God. Christ moves lower and lower, deeper and deeper into the decomposing cosmos, down layer by layer, starting with man. Thus, the vision of Christ at and in the trash layer, stratum, is a vision of ultimate and final repair. Why am I so joyful? I am celebrating a victory and can now stop work, finally, and relax. Why? Because I did my job and I know it. What was the job? To get the third dispensation in print. And I did so in Androids. I need do nothing else in my life. The Tagore vision, the Godhead expanding into the ecosphere, animal kingdom. Okay, there are other aspects. I didn't sell out to Hollywood. 1. Do the novelization, or 2. Permit the novelization, 3. Suppress the original book. And in view of what the film is about, it would have destroyed me for 2 reasons, not 1. A. The Tagore vision in Androids. B. The Heinlein power fantasies in Blade Runner. These are antithetical, and they express the opposing kingdoms Christ, Androids, and Satan, Blade Runner. Look what it would have done to me spiritually and psychologically and politically. My soul is safe, and it was in jeopardy. This is why I see victory despite the vast defeat. Note: novelists have always wrestled with the great selling out to Hollywood moral dilemma, but I'm not sure any have ever escalated or plunged it to such a metaphysical or hysterical paroxysm. These passages are also at odds with claims made by others that Dick told director Ridley Scott the movie was exactly the way he imagined the novel. Clearly, he had other feelings. For better or worse, however, there is no underestimating the impact of Blade Runner, not merely on the public recognition of Dick, but also on the perception of his writing. The movie gave a visual identity to work that never was especially imagistic. Flow My Tears, The Policeman Said, comes closer visually to Blade Runner than does Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep? Even for those readers who were familiar with Dick's work before the film, recollection of his books now takes a visual form that is equal parts Dick's imagination and Scott's advertising background in London, in a way that, of all people, Dick might understand that what's perceived is a collaboration between who has created it and who has perceived it. Dick himself has become a collaborated invention. All that said, and his histrionics aside, props to Dick for the artistic integrity and courage to resist Hollywood's efforts to usurp the original novel and re-novelize it. S.E. End note.